The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline today. U of A gets a transfer quarterback who was the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. For those of you that are still living in the dark ages of, it's been 1,870 days since ASU lost U of A, that's fine. It's cute. It's not sustainable the way things are going. It's not. And John's got some stuff. Johnny Football is the great Andy Bagnato calls him. John Wilner will be with us. Wilner Hotline. Both of us watched, as I'm sure many of you did last night, the national championship game. Just how far away is the Pac-12 from even being able to be on the field and compete in a title game? Like next year, Oregon opens their season with Georgia. Next year. It's a cool story. Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator of Georgia, will be the new head coach at Oregon next September. So we will see the SEC against the Pac-12 to open up the year. But we're just talking about beef and size and all of that. That's what I saw last night. You know, I saw that, and then, well, there's some other things I saw I'll get to in a minute. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. John Wilner shortly. And we're going to bring back Josh Weinfuss from Monday's show because I thought it was really good and powerful, aiming towards the Cardinals and Rams next Monday night. Watching the title game last night, there's a few things early in the game. I'm one of those that likes defensive struggles. We live in a day and age where everybody wants offense. If it's not a high-scoring game, it's a bad game. So, of course, this, as the first half is going on, people are sitting there pounding away. And even people in my own industry are pounding away about what a boring game it is. And it's like, you don't get it. You don't get the beauty of defensive football when you're trying to win a championship game. Everybody wants video game numbers. And you're not going to have video game numbers usually in a national title game. There were enough big plays early in the game. The quarterback, Stetson Bennett, was not good early for Georgia. He wasn't. He was nervous. He was all over the place. And then as the game progressed, oh my gosh, what a great game. What an amazing game. Yeah, it's kind of like you just have to give it time rather than you want to see it happen instantaneously, I guess is my rant on this. But by the end of the game, when I'm sitting there watching Kelee Ringo run the other way for a touchdown and once again saying why Arizona State didn't get him, and, you know, I will always get excuses. That's what I get. I always get reasons. Well, you know, there was this person and that person. And it's just like another Saguaro star player who decided to go elsewhere rather than stay here. And DJ Foster came here, and Connor Soley's here now, and we should have more. Kyle Caldwell stayed home, you know, through the years. And so when Keeley is running to the end zone and he scores, they're doing the close-up on him, and he's the only Arizona kid that is a part of this game that's a main player. And then Bryce Young is a kid from California, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to go to Alabama. So what's it take to get those kids to stay at home? We'll talk to John Wilner about that. So that caught my eye. Stetson Bennett, hey, Daddy Baller, why don't you take a moment and take a breath, Daddy Baller, and sit down and watch the tape of Stetson Bennett, Daddy Baller, in the national championship game? Why don't you take a step back and see that his path took him to community college, Daddy Baller? When I get Daddy Ballers, that school's not big enough for us. We could never go to community college. What would people say? And quarterback dads can be. Not all of them. Some of them are very good. Some of them are very level-headed. But a majority of them are crazy. They are. We have to go here. We have to go. What would the neighbors think? Who cares? Stetson Bennett went to community college. He was the third stringer at Georgia, and he's bawling his eyes out last night because he won a national championship. I don't know what it takes to get it through to Daddy Baller. I don't get it. could be Stetson Bennett. It could be Josh Allen. It could be Aaron Rodgers. If you say community college, they just shrivel up and they can't bring it upon themselves to say, maybe it's best if my son goes and throws for a boatload of yards and then gets his pick of the litter, because these schools make mistakes all the time on these guys coming out of high school. And then you have the Stetson Bennett story last night. It was tremendous. If it didn't choke you up, then you're probably just an Alabama fan. If you're a fan of sport and Stetson Bennett didn't choke you up, I'd say maybe you're taking this a little too serious. You might want to take a step back and say, wow, that is so cool. This is what it's all about. I thought it was a great game. I'm fine with field goals in the national title game leading up to halftime. I don't need people saying, what a boring game, and they're dead flat wrong. Get out of the business if you think that's boring. There. Feel much better now. How about U of A? Huh? Getting Jaden Delora, the Pac-12 freshman quarterback of the year. He goes into the portal, and 48 hours later, he's a Wildcat. Now, I'm going to talk to John about this in a couple minutes, Sean Wilner. Is it because Jaden Delora couldn't play at Wazoo? Is it because there was a new coach? Is it because there was a new offensive coordinator? John wrote this last week that Cameron Ward, who's been at Incarnate Word, once again, Daddy Baller, go look at where Incarnate Word is, and maybe your kid should go there, go to a smaller school, figure it out, throw for a boatload of yards, and then go to the Pac-12, because that's probably what's going to happen. But nonetheless, if you look at what Jed Fish and his staff have done, they started turning the corner, in my opinion, in early October, which is what happens with teams in a rebuild, in a reboot, in a complete demolition. It goes like this. You lose games to like to NAU, and everybody laughs at you, and everybody says your program's a joke. And at the time he took it over, it was, because Kevin Sumlin was a joke of a coach. He was. Of course, Kevin Sumlin gets hired in the USFL, and he still has the money from U of A, and what a great racket if you can get into it. So they inherit a roster that just has not much of anything at all. And they have some guys that figure out in the portal, hey, I can go to U of A and I can play immediately. None of this, well, they've never been to a Rose Bowl, ha, 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 nonsense. Not in this era. If you think that guys are looking at history, tradition, and heritage versus I need to get on the field, I need to get some tape, I need to get reps, and I'll get to the NFL, that's what's going on now. So if you're into the mindset of, well, that program's never been to Pasadena except UCLA every other year, that doesn't mean a thing. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Rose Bowl, but if you're looking for opportunity to play, if you are the top quarterback in the Trinity League at Servite High School, one of the top quarterbacks in the Trinity League, I should say, and then everybody's like, why would you go to the U of A? Because there's an opportunity to play. If you're the number one wide receiver on the West Coast, which is what happened with the U of A, they landed to the number one wide receiver. Why would he go there? I mean, you look at all the names we have. Because he wants to get on the field and play. And kids recruit kids. Guys like us, guys that do our shows on TV, guys that write for newspapers, the fan websites, all that stuff doesn't mean jack. It's kids telling kids, hey, come here, let's go try to get our stuff in, and then we'll get on to the next level. And the NIL money is a big part of it too. The boosters at Texas A&M saying, hey, let's back up the truck, and you back up the truck, and then let's just dump all the money in the middle, and we don't have any real restrictions on this money. We're just going to hand it out to the guys right and left because we're Texas A&M. We can do that. And we'll have some misses, but who cares? Because those people just go away and we'll back up more money. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. Like today, there's probably panic in the streets at Alabama because they lost in the national championship game. I don't know, your star receiver went down grabbing his knee in the second quarter. Couldn't make big plays after that. Georgia had bigger dudes up front. Maybe people are catching up to Nick Saban in that conference. Or maybe it's just, you know, it was a good old-fashioned football game, and that's what happened on that night. If they played each other 10 times, did Georgia win 10 times? I don't think so. Just the breaks went their way last night. So, yeah, there's a, like Jackson Dart leaving USC. Jackson Dart was like the love. Like, we went to Washington State and tore them up. And Jackson Dart's this, Jackson Dart's that. Jackson Dart's like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to go in the portal because I think Caleb Williams is coming to USC. So I'm out of here. Like, next week, I'll probably have another quarterback who went in the portal because I'm out of here. If I'm down in Tucson and I'm Plummer or I'm Gunnar Cruz, I'm probably picking up the phone and saying, you know, I might want to get into the portal today because yesterday they had another shoe that dropped. It's just the way the portal is working in this day and age. But I'm just fascinated by all the stuff on the college football front and feel very good for Kelee Ringo and what he accomplished last night, the former Saguaro Sabercat, with his mom and her health and him having the game-winning, game-sealing touchdown there for Georgia. You know, the Cardinals are off today. The game is next Monday night. I'm not going to sit here and go position by position today. It's just we have six more days of this. Do I think the Cardinals can win on the road? Josh Weinfuss and I spoke about that. You'll hear that later in the show. The Suns have an interesting game tonight. Suns, there's not many nights that I sit here when the Suns play, especially in games in January, and say, oh, wow, this is going to be a hard game. Because most nights, like the other night against Miami, the Suns just get back DeAndre and they get back Jay Crowder. They were going to be on JaVale McGee. They're going to be off. It's a rhythm game. It's a routine game. They're going to be off. And so they had their worst game of the season. So what? Now they go to Toronto to open a five-game road trip. Toronto's pretty good. Like, I'd take Pascal Siakam on my team. I'd take Fred VanVleet on my team. They're pretty good. You know, they've won some games in a row, and they're 20-17. This is not going to be like a walk-in-the-park game tonight. And I am interested to see how it goes. Adrian Wilson's name has been brought up for the New York Giants in their front office job. It'd be good for Adrian. It'd be good for him to move on from the Cardinals. He's been there all of his life. He's been a part of the front office. Grow your people. Push them out of the nest at some point or sometime they get an opportunity. That's how I am here. And if they want to stay for 30 years, great. But if they have opportunities that come along, that's fine too. John Wilner is next. Wilner Hotline. All things around the national championship game in college football, that is next. Jared Nielsen is steering the ship. He is the chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He doesn't screw up. We're back with more after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets. If your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, as promised, John Wilner is with us. Wilner Hotline, as my good friend, our good friend Andy Bagnotto likes to say, Johnny Football. and speaking of which, here we are in mid-January, and there's so much going on. It's not just the national title game. So I have a whole laundry list of things to run by you, and we'll get the title game out of the way first and foremost. And I'll put it in these questions, John. How far away is the Pac-12 from Georgia and Alabama in terms of football caliber and getting on the field in the title game?
I've been able to get on the field in the title game and compete.
Yes.
You know, to win that game. There's whoever it is multiple recruiting cycles away. And even that I'm not sure is going to be enough, right? The big difference when you look at it, the size of the linemen, right? Especially the defensive linemen. Those teams are trotting out 300, 310-pound defensive linemen. Pac-12's guys are 250, 260. And the same thing with the linebackers. The physicality and size and speed is just – it's a different league. It's a different world.
Mm-hmm. You wrote a column about it, too, going size by size. If you folks haven't checked it out, you can follow John over at Twitter at John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. I'm going to bring this local. Okay. So Bryce Young is a player that should not have gotten out of California, but he did. Kelee Ringo is right here in our own backyard and he had the game sealing touchdown. Arizona State never got him on campus from my understanding. And yet here he is scoring the game winning score from Saguaro High School, a place that produced DJ Foster, Connor Soley there today. It's just another one of those, can the Pac-12 keep their guys at home? With Dan Lanning leading Georgia and going to Oregon, John, do you think, and with what's going on with Lincoln Riley, do you think some of that is going to start to happen?
Well, I'm not sure that Lanning will do any better or worse than Mario Cristobal did. And Cristobal did pretty well, you know, especially taking advantage of USC's regression. You know, the Pac-12's problem, really, put it this way, wasn't Mario Cristobal when it comes to recruiting. So maybe Lanning will be able to improve on it. I don't know. But Oregon is not the issue. The big thing, USC certainly, and Lincoln Riley, we've already seen in the first month or 6 weeks of his tenure, you know, he's got a lot of five-star kids who might otherwise have left, have committed to going to USC. So that's a start. But there's also an issue. It's not just keeping the five-star kids. There just aren't as many big guys out here. Mm-hmm. There are not as many. It's a population issue, demographics, I don't know what, but you just don't see very many 300-pound defensive linemen on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Those guys are in the South. And how the Pac-12 is going to pull those guys out of the South, I don't know, but that's a huge problem.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, the portal – I've actually on my staff made a change here in the last couple of weeks. I moved our high school recruiting guy over to the college end with the portal, because the portal's not just going to be a January thing.
No.
It's not just going to be a December thing. I mean, John, are you seeing the portal as I am, that we're going to have portal news in spring football when guys get bitter and they're not being loved on enough? And we're going to have portal news in May and June and July now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's free agency 365 days a year. Right. NFL, MLB, NBA, they have specific windows for free agent signings. College football has 365 windows of free agent signings. And I think that we could see an extra level of it this year in the Pac-12 all the way through spring practice, because you have so many new coaches, right? Four new coaches. They're going to have, you know, get through spring, see what they've got. And they may make some decisions that, you know, require comings and goings in April or even May. So, I mean, Gardner Minshew walked on Washington State's campus for the first time in like late May of whatever it was, 2017, 2018. We'll see some of that, I'm sure, all the way through the next 6 months.
Okay, let's stick with Washington State. Were you surprised that Jaden Delora left Wazoo? Were you equally or more surprised that he shows up at U of A and says, I'm going to go here with Jed Fish 48 hours later?
I mean, nothing really is a big surprise. I was not that surprised he left Washington State, only in that, you know, he's had some issues, I think, that has caused Washington State to maybe question his maturity level. I don't think he's a bad kid at all, but certainly some decisions he's made weren't great. And I don't know how that fits. I don't think they were thrilled with his performance in the bowl game. Not sure how he meshed with the new coaching staff. The new offensive coordinator, and they had a plan to bring in their own quarterback. The new offensive coordinator did. It's a great get for Arizona. It certainly helps their QB room, which, you know, needed some help. I don't know that he's necessarily the guy who's going to lead them to 8 wins next year, but he could be the difference between winning 4 and winning 6 potentially.
Well, and for them, winning 2 would be doubling the
improvement. Yes, so, that's true. I think that they're headed that way. I mean, they've done a pretty good job with the portal and the high school recruiting. They're headed that way, but that's, you know, getting that QB situation solved is big.
Jackson Dart leaving USC. So, you know, I've heard that he's really tight with Kyle Whittingham. He played high school football up there. Yep. Utah's been in the market looking for a quarterback. What are you hearing on that front?
I think that that's a distinct possibility. I mean, if he goes there, right, he's probably sitting for, what, at least next year with Cam Rising. Cam Rising is entrenched. And I don't know, maybe 2 years. That's something that they would have to certainly solve ahead of time, so there's no surprises. But I think that's a certainly a distinct possibility. And it does make you wonder if USC thinks they're going to get Caleb Williams, the Oklahoma transfer, who's the number one quarterback on the transfer market, you know, would be an instant, a huge get for SC and the Pac-12.
And Caleb Williams was at the Rams 49ers game. He was at a Lakers game.
Yeah.
He's been very visible out there. And, you know, John, I think just seeing how the USC quarterback thing has gone down, you know, Keaton Slovis goes to Pitt. And immediately you hear that Caleb Williams could be looking at Pitt because there's some connections there, even though Keaton had already gone there. And now Caleb Williams is out at USC and Jackson Dart's like, I'm out of here. So to your point off the top of this, it is going to be an ever-changing atmosphere within the conference. Do you see a team that has come out? I know we're just here in almost mid-January, but have you seen a team within the conference that you think, you know, they are better than when they finished the regular season?
Certainly Arizona is, with Delora and some of the recruits. I think some of their recruits will be able to play right away. And that's a big reason they're – two big reasons Arizona is doing so well with recruiting is they can offer immediate playing time at 22 positions. Mm-hmm. Also, I think they're benefiting from ASU's paralysis because of the NCAA investigation. So Arizona certainly helped themselves. I'm just thinking real quick. I don't know. They stand out the most. I mean, there's a lot. Some teams have helped themselves with who they've brought in, but they've also lost guys, mm-hmm. right? Washington helped themselves with Michael Penix, the quarterback from Indiana, but they're also losing a key receiver, a key linebacker. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take many months to settle, but I'd say the big winner of the last month probably has been Arizona.
Okay, you and I have talked. Let me go over here first. Has Arizona passed Arizona State in preseason projections, in your opinion? Have they closed the gap?
That's a great question. They certainly have closed the gap. I mean, I think the gap, the gap to me was closing in November. I don't know that I would pick Arizona to finish ahead of ASU in the South next year. It kind of depends on what happens with the Sun Devils, right? I mean, if they get some resolution on the NCAA front soon and they can solidify their roster, hold their guys, I'd probably pick them ahead. If this uncertainty remains in Tempe and that you see more guys go into the transfer portal, I mean, they've already lost a bunch of starting level players, then, and if it continues, then I'd probably pick Arizona. It can change so quickly, right?
Sure.
And part of that's the transfer portal.
Sure. I mean, I was the one that planted the flag that Herm wouldn't be back. I'm wrong. Yep. Herm's back. You and I have talked at great lengths about if Utah goes to the Rose Bowl, which they did, that perhaps Kyle Whittingham would say, you know what, I've done this, peace out, I'm done. That hasn't happened. Are we now settled for this? This will be the coaching rotation for the coming year, or do you think there still could be a move behind the scenes?
You know, the ASU situation is interesting. I mean, they certainly are planning on him coming back, but what happens, and maybe they know what the worst case scenario could be from the NCAA. I don't know what the worst case scenario could be for ASU. So to me, if there is something unexpected, could that, you know, prompt them to try to make a change? I don't know. The Whittingham situation, I'm not sure we're out of the window in which he may decide to retire, right? The Rose Bowl is less than 2 weeks. I would say 5% chance he leaves, but I don't think it's zero yet. If we're February 1st and he hasn't retired, then it's probably zero.
Yeah, I think on
the other
one. I think on ASU's front, if they self-impose, so I've started to hear the term self-impose down here. I don't know if that gets them a get out of jail free card. I don't think it does. But have you heard anything about self-impose on ASU's end?
I heard some scuttlebutt about that as a potential end game, you know, in October, November, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing specific recently. But, you know, self-impose is one way to try to gain clarity. And the NCAA has certainly looked favorably upon programs that have done that, you know, in football and basketball. So, you know, that certainly is going to be an option for ASU, I would think.
Yeah.
The other one is, sorry, but Chip Kelly. We can't forget about Chip Kelly.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. His contract, he's got a $9 million buyout. It drops to zero on Sunday. At that point, he could walk away from UCLA without owing them a dime, or UCLA could say, we're making a change and not owe Chip a dime. I don't know what will happen, but it is not a guarantee that he's coming back yet.
Wow. And that would be a bombshell for sure.
Bombshell, especially at this time of year, right? Yeah. Who are they going to hire?
Right. I think the other story, the other coach, if I look across the entire conference, that I'm surprised he's still there is Justin Wilcox. with what happened at Cal, with what happened with COVID, it's very clear that you're not going to be able to win at Berkeley. Very clear. with the way that the health standards are. Did that surprise you that he went through the coaching carousel and is still there?
A little bit. Certainly, given that it sure seems like he had a legitimate offer from Oregon, and I just feel like he didn't think it was right. I don't know if he didn't want to be the guy who replaced Mario Cristobal with, you know, a different philosophy than Cristobal had in terms of running your program, or something didn't feel right to him about it. That would have been the one that I would have guessed he would leave for. So maybe Cal has, you know, made some, you know, they're trying to support the program with more money for staff, assistant coaches. He must have just felt it was a better option right now, but he's a good coach, and yeah, it's a very tough job.
Great chopping it up with you. Stay safe. Happy New Year's. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. You can follow all of his content over on Twitter at Wilner Hotline. We also have it up on sports360az.com. Great to catch up with the great John Wilner. As Andy Bagnato says, Johnny Football. We're back with more after this timeout.